They said to tell every one of you hi. I was with them a few weeks ago, and all they could talk about is how I was going to fall in love with Nigeria. I think they were right. I haven't seen much of Nigeria, but I'm meeting the Nigerian people. And as I told my wife when I went home from Atlanta the first time, she wasn't with me. And I told her, those of you that were there remember, I told you that I was going to tell her how our family is enlarged. And so she went back with me when we went there a few weeks ago, and my wife fell in love with you too. Hallelujah. You know, suffer not the little children to come unto me. My heart is full because of these little children. And my prayer is that you will not make prisoners out of them, but set them free. Set them free to, God had me write a paper one time. It says, are we making slaves of our children? In my country, America has become so religious that the only way they can hold the next generation in their church systems is to make slaves out of them, indoctrinate them, put them into an area of religion that keeps them from becoming and having and fulfilling the potential that God has for them. As I was sitting there watching these little children, God spoke to me about the potential that exists within. This is the next generation for Nigeria. There might be standing up before us today a spirit-filled, prophet-walking president of Nigeria to establish not only democracy, but there's a greater government that God is establishing in the earth, and that is the government of his kingdom when he rules and reigns through his people. And in the likes of some of those children, we might see great prophets of the Lord rise up within the land and begin to walk out the land. This world is in terrible shape. We see a world that's full of turmoil. And I love my country, friends, but I hate what's happening to my country. America was not great because of the men that lived there, but they were great because of the God that they served. And here in Nigeria, we need to understand that it's not about us. It's not about you, but it's about the God we serve. And we need to come into the place where we recognize that among it all, we need God. I'm for education. I'm for prosperity. I'm for gaining houses and lands. But friends, houses and lands and prosperity and education and a place in society is not our God. It is nothing but a platform that God can use to open doors through your education and your prosperity for one purpose, and that is to send forth the gospel around the world. This is the mantle that God is placing upon this people, that you might be a people that rise up and go forth out of this place, not only in Abuja and across Nigeria, but there are places around the world that are waiting for such as this to appear in their midst, that they might begin to behold the glory of the Lord. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has come upon you. I'm here to tell you tonight that this is your time and this is your season. It's time for a people to rise up out of their pews and begin to walk out the highways and the byways and compel them to come in, for there's a people that are groaning and travailing and crying for Christ to come forth in their midst. Most of the young people of my nation are following after all sorts of excitement and toys and things to play with. God spoke to me one day and he said, Dwayne, the reason these kids are running after drugs and alcohol, illicit sex and all of these other things is they're looking for me, but they don't know where to look because our churches have grown lukewarm and indifferent and they're promoting a gospel that's not the true gospel of God. Hallelujah. Yes, there's some good things that might come out of America. But I'm here to tell you tonight, don't follow the gospel that is being promoted in my land. For it is quickly finding itself with Ichabod written upon its heart, and God is departing. Now, as I begin to pray and ask God about the condition of our country, this is what God spoke to me. I had just gone to Atlanta, met the giant Nigerian brothers, and some of them had said something about they would like for us to come over to Nigeria to visit with you folks. And I kind of just let it come in one ear and out the other because invitations come easy. But as I went home and began to pray and ask God about it, all of a sudden my brother John called me up and said, there's a brother Basson coming to Tulsa. Would you like to come up? While he's talking to me on the phone, the Lord spoke and says, yes, you have a message that will flow with Brother Francis Basson. So we went up there, and he didn't know me from Adam. But the first few words he said to me beside, hello, how are you, is, brother, we want you to come to Nigeria. So here we are. But as we begin to pray and we ask God about Nigeria, this is what he spoke to me. He said, America was a place for my glory and light existed, but the light is going out. And I asked God why. And he says, because when they begin to pass laws to do away with God out of the school system and out of the political arena, when they begin to pass laws that begin to slay millions of babies a year, God said they wrote it in concrete that they did not want me ruling over their country anymore. And God says judgment now is coming forth to my country. And except there be a bit of light growing and maturing and flowing and manifesting itself in my country, it shall grow completely dark. Now, for what reason, I do not know, but when I was in high school and through our history and geography classes, one of the things they told me that Africa was a dark continent. I don't know why it was a dark continent, but that's what I was taught. But God showed me that America was the light of the world. But now the light in America is going out, and God says the light in the world is not going to go out. What God said is, I'm going to transfer the light that used to exist over America into some other nations. And those nations are going to become a light that's going to begin to burn brighter and brighter and brighter until they take the light of God's glory to the four corners of the earth. Now, this is your destiny, and this is the mantle that God desires to put upon you. But with every prophetic word that comes forth of God, there's a requirement that you heed and hear the word of the Lord. God is in a position now when he is beginning to speak to his people with distinct, clear understanding. And I want to tell you tonight, begin to expect God to visit you in the stillness of your night hour. And when you begin to hear God speak to you, rise up upon your feet, for the glory of the Lord has come into your bedroom. And it is there that he wants to begin to minister unto you the mysteries of the kingdom, that you might rise up as a mighty army and begin to take back this land for God. Hallelujah. This is our day and this is our season. Now, I want to back up here a minute, and I want to tell you how, what such an honor it is to be here among you. Because, as someone said already tonight, we have some great men of God in this place. And in this place, the glory of the Lord shall shine. Now, there's been much talk about change, especially the first couple of days we were here, people were talking about change. But I want to tell you that all change is not good. We have a president in our country now who was standing upon the platform that got him elected to office, and the platform was change. And now that he's elected into office, the changes that are going on in my country is dispelling the light on an increasing measure. So all change is not good, but God wants you to come into this realization that you have been destined to become a people of change. And that which God does in you is going to begin to affect the environment that you live in. And this is not only for the Nigerians, but it's for every nation of people that is represented in this place. God is now ready to open you up and reveal you to the world. No longer are you going to be hidden behind the four walls of a building or in your own homes or in your own self. But God is going to begin to open you up, and a people is going to begin to look upon you, and they're going to say, I don't know what it is that you have, but I want what you got. Hallelujah. So as we minister to you tonight from the Word, in the area of, are you willing to become God's fullness? That's a question God is asking you as a people. Are you willing to become God's fullness? Well, I believe that there's some steps that he will reveal unto us tonight that you and I are going to have to choose. Are we willing to let the fullness of God manifest himself through us? When we talk about God's glory and the great things that God says He's going to do, most of us are probably ready to get on our horse and ride. We want what we hear God saying, but God is wanting us to come into a place where we count the cost. Count the cost. Hallelujah. When I spoke about the children earlier, don't make prisoners out of them. What I was speaking of is don't indoctrinate them with religion. Religion is a death angel that rides to and fro across the face of the earth, seeking whom it may devour. God don't want us under the cloak of religion, but liberation is our theme, that we might be liberated unto the Spirit of the Lord, that the changes that are necessary to take place in my world might begin to affect this world. And when this world is affected, then I begin to affect the other worlds that I come in contact with. So hallelujah, God's desire is for you and I to become a visible expression of an invisible God. This world is crying out for God. Romans tells us there's a groaning and a travailing that's going on. And they're crying out for God, but they're looking in all the wrong places. Well, God's getting ready to alleviate that. He's getting ready to cause a light to begin to shine, so this world will not have to guess what direction to go in. They won't have to try this thing for a while, and they won't have to try that thing for a while. But they're going to begin to see such an allurement begin to take place in the people of this world that they're going to begin to know, this is the way, walk ye in it. I don't know what you got, but that's what I want. Hallelujah. Now, as you can turn over to Hosea, if you would like, but I want to share with you a vision God gave me. I can't remember if it was a vision or a dream. It was one or the other. And as I begin, was sitting here the last couple of days, the Lord brought that vision back to my memory, and He wants me to share it with you. Now, in this vision, I was caught up in the Spirit in a fairly large building over here to my right. And all of a sudden, over here to the left, there was a door open. And through that door walked a woman. A very attractive woman, and she was just nicely dressed, and her dress wasn't overly done. It was just simple but attractive. She was very, very easy to look upon, and up here on the platform, there was a big chalice, cup-like thing, and this woman walked up and stood before the chalice. Then I asked the Lord, what are you showing me? And He says, He reminded me about the wedding that Jesus attended when He started His ministry. And He says, now you as a people have this choice. You can let the woman drink of the old wine, or you can allow the water to be turned into wine and give her to drink. The woman is a type of the church, and there's a church out here that is desiring to have a drink of wine. And God wants us to make up our mind. Just what kind of wine are we going to give this church? Are we going to let her drink of the old wine? Or are we going to allow the water to be changed into wine that is better wine? Remember, the scripture tells us the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. So you and I have not been birthed in the time when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee. When I first become a Christian, one of the things that I desired, oh Lord, why couldn't I have been born when you walked the shores of Galilee in the streets of Jerusalem? I think it would have been an exciting time. But God spoke to me and said, Dwayne, you've been birthed in a time and a season that's far greater than that time and that season. And so you and I are not birthed by accident in this day, in this time, and this season. There was no accidents. God purposed for you and I to be birthed at this time and this season, because greater is the glory of the latter house than the former. And there's a glory going to begin to flow out of the midst of a people that's going to go out and water a dry and a thirsty land. And we're going to see a many-membered harvest come forth and begin to give glory unto the Lord our God. Hallelujah. So this time and season is a great time and season. Now, one of the most, I feel, unjust things that the ministry has done to the church is propagate a gospel that puts God afar off. You can go from church to church in my country, and they believe in God, but they do not believe in a God of the now. Are you guys with me? So it was a great injustice. I do not want to debate with you about the rapture or not having a rapture, but I do want to tell you that the rapture is set a mindset within Christian people that puts God afar off, and he's only going to fulfill that which he's declared unto us at a far off season and time. So we want to eradicate a far off God. We want to bring God right into the now. And if I read the scriptures right, God's not afar off and he's not around the corner. I understand that God dwells within the midst of this house. And it's when from the midst of this house that he's going to rise up and put the enemy to flight. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered from the innermost parts of our house. Hallelujah. Now turn with me over to Hosea, about the second chapter. Hallelujah. Now, if you see sweat running off my fingertips, don't worry about it. I do that sometimes in cold weather. Hallelujah. I'm just a sweater. So praise the Lord. The second chapter of Hosea. Now, we need to understand that the children of Israel, even in bondage, didn't cease from being the children of Israel. They were held captive for periods of time, but they did not cease from being the children of Israel. Did they not? All through the Old Testament and then through the New Testament, the children of Israel was always known as the children of Israel. And I want you to know that as we speak to you tonight, you're a church. And it does not make any difference of the condition of your church. You're still the church. And God loves us. God loves us. But I've been hearing some brother here this week, talking about change. And I'm here to tell you tonight that we're in the midst of one of the greatest changes that's ever going to hit this earth. Because there's a people that are alive and well, some sitting on these pews tonight, that are going to rise up in the glory of God. And like Peter of old, as they walk the streets of their city, people are going to be healed and fall out in the spirit on the left hand and on the right hand. Because the glory of the Lord is beginning to flow from the midst of a people. This type of glory doesn't come because we're Miss Goody Two-Shoes. It comes because of something that you and I had nothing to do with. And it's time for us to come back out from underneath the law and begin to again experience the grace of God in a measure that God intended for us to experience it. Yes, it's God's grace that forgives us of our sins and fills us with the Holy Spirit. But for the most part, Christian communities all over the world, after that Holy Spirit's experience, they find themselves reverting back to that old thing called the law, which produces nothing but death in the midst of the people. Then we wonder why that there's a generation following after us, for the most part, that don't want nothing to do with church because it's a place where death abides. And the scriptures clearly and distinctly says that the law does what? Killeth. It kills. We've been slaying people on the left hand and right in the name of God. Hallelujah. We can read of the history of the church and find out that during the dark ages, when the church was conquering the land from one north, south, and east, and west, and they were conquering the land by one method and one method alone. They were doing it with a sword. And if you didn't agree with their doctrine, if you didn't agree with their tradition, they would wield the sword out and cut your head off and burn you at the stake. Well, almost just as bad, especially in my country, churches that used to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and moved in the gifts of the Spirit and powerful anointings, bringing deliverance into a people's lives, are now moving God out the back door for the sake of a humanistic gospel that changes no soul and brings forth no life. Are you folks with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's start reading with about the 13th verse. The children of Israel had come out of bondage again, and God was dealing with them in a specific manner because he was, through the prophet Hosea, wanting to present unto them a picture of the bride of Christ that is making herself ready. Okay? This is the condition, verse 13 of the second chapter of Hosea. And I will visit upon her the days of Balaam, wherein she burned incense to them. Now this is a condition that exists, that existed among the children of Israel, and them being a type of the church. And this day and hour, we're finding the Christian community are opening their doors again for such a gospel as we're seeing ministered here in this 13th verse, wherein she burned incense to them. And she decked herself with her earrings and her jewels, and she went after her lovers and forget me, saith the Lord. This is not speaking unto us tonight from a natural standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. It is talking about us dressing ourselves in a way that is not righteous and pleasing unto God in a spiritual way. In other words, we are bowing down to doctrines and traditions that didn't come out from beneath the throne room of God. It's men with high ideals and traditional doctrines that are incorporating this mindset into a people, and they're beginning to move away from the glory of God into a social gospel, and the light that was in them is growing darker and darker. And the scripture says, if the light is within you goes out, how great is that darkness? Hallelujah. My country needs people just like you coming to it, the shores of the U.S., with a gospel that will begin to set God's people free. Again, I want to iterate that we do not need another religion, but we need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ hitting the shores of our country and going from coast to coast and border to border, setting God's people free. Even though you might hear the bad news about my country, there is a people that are on their knees before God and they're crying out, send us the word, Lord, send us the word. You shall become a people that do not memorize the word alone, but shall become the word made flesh again in the earth, so that the world can look upon you and see not a commentary about what this word is saying, but the word made flesh in the earth again, where a people might look upon you and say, I read about you in this thing, and I never knew what I was talking about until I see you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you willing to become God's fullness? So the condition that exists, I'm sure doesn't exist in your church, but it exists. That's supposed to be a joke. Hallelujah. Verse 14, speaking about the church. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. I will allure. This word allure means to entice with something desirable, to fascinate. The power to have a strong attraction. So friends, we're going to begin to see, and even now, there is coming forth an allurement that's going to begin to affect the people that we live among. And this allurement within the church circles is going to begin to take a people from out of their normal dwelling places. Oh, I hope I make myself clear tonight. Normal dwelling places is our religious mindset. This is where we live in a normal sense of the word. We function on a day-by-day basis according to the mindset and according to the teachings and trainings and the genealogy and the environment and the culture that we were raised in. And that mindset, that culture and all of those things have formed a mindset within us. And when we're put into any given situation and circumstances, we react according to our mindset or that which is ingrained within our being. This is that which God is saying, I'm going to take you out of that mindset and I'm going to put you into a wilderness. Now, the wilderness being spoken of here is not speaking about a dry and desolate and desert land. But it's speaking of a place where no man has ever walked. It's speaking of a place where there's virgin territory. It's speaking of a place where people can go into and not be affected by what they come out of. And God is saying, I'm going to allure you. I'm going to create such a strong attraction that you're going to hear my voice. And when my voice begins to speak, rise up and go forth. He shall take us into that virgin territory. And in that territory, there's going to be a change take place within our lives that's going to bring forth a manifestation of a living God. Hallelujah. Are you folks walking with me? I will lead or bring her into the wilderness, and there he speaks comfortable unto us. In other words, someone during the teaching today on marriage was talking about caressing one another. Am I right? Yes. Speaking certain words unto your mate. And I remember when I first seen my wife. Oh, hallelujah. Got to tell you this. Hallelujah. I was about 24, 25 years old. And when I was 12 years old, God called me into the ministry, but I was such a shy, backward young man that I knew I couldn't ever get before anybody and talk. And so I run from God, and for many years I run from Him. And one day, circumstances and situations arrived that brought me back to the U.S., and while in the U.S., I ended up being almost forced to go to a church. And when I went into that church, boy, I could not resist running to that altar. I was a young man that had been raised in church, baptized in the Holy Spirit, knew that the ministry of and a call into the ministry was upon my life. But fear and trembling began to grip my heart and caused me to run from God. And I want to tell you something tonight, my friends. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And it will lead you down paths that you do not want to walk. And it will bring scars and affliction upon your soul that only God Almighty can bring healing to. But praise God, the death is flowing from the cross, or the grace is flowing from the cross, and it's willing to heal, to set free, to bring deliverance, and to renew the soul. Hallelujah. So He's going to speak comfortably unto her. This is why I could say clearly and without hesitation, something's going to take place within our lives. It's going to cause the glory of God to come out of our innermost being and begin to caress people that we come in contact with. And as that power and that authority begins to caress those people, they're going to wilt before the hand of God. And in repentance, they're going to return back to the God that they departed from. Hallelujah. This is your lot, and this is your call, and this is the mantle that God is putting upon your shoulders, that you might become a light in a darkened world. See, there's more than just a rising and shining. That light can only come forth. Friends, it doesn't come from out here somewhere, but it's a light that begins to burn with the innermost parts of this house, and it brings forth life. Wherever it shines, it brings forth life. Hallelujah. So comfortably, he speaks unto us. Now, in this place, in this wilderness area, that word comfortable, by the way, means God speaks to us heart to heart. Now, when the scripture brings forth the word heart, what do you think it means? It's not talking about that little pumper right here, is it? What it's talking about is the soul. So God said He's going to speak from soul to soul. Does God have a soul? Hallelujah. Yes, He does, because when He breathed into Adam, what happened to old Adam? He became a living soul. In other words, the very life of God was breathed into that lump of clay, and he became a living soul with a mindset to glorify God. So speaking comfortably unto us, heart to heart, He speaks to us and begins to deal with our soul. Therefore, verse 15, and I will give her vineyards from thence, and the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth, and as in the days when she come up out of the land of Egypt. I will give her vineyards from thence. With vineyards, speaking of wine, God's already spoke to us that we have a choice. Francis, are we going to give them old wine to drink, or water changed in the wine? Hallelujah. These vineyards spoken of here is pointing us back to the time when Moses was standing at Kadesh Barnea on the edge of the promised land. After a year or so marching through that desert, they come to the promised land. Moses was instructed by God to send out the 12 spies. The 12 spies went back, and they come back. And there's a twofold thing God desires for us to see here. When they come back, their testimony was, except for Joshua and Caleb. Now hear this. When you look around about you today, all over the world, there's giants. What's your testimony? We can't take the land, for there's giants there. But Joshua and Caleb was an exceptional, two exceptional lads. Two is God's number for witness. And they gave witness even at the time when fear was hitting the camp. We can go up and we can take this land, brother. We can take the land. Now, when they come back, there was a second thing that caused them. There was a second thing that caused them to reject God. How many of you remember the occasion when they had come across some vineyards? And these vineyards was of the sort. Now, these vineyards was vineyards in the promised land. And these vineyards were putting off grapes that was so great that it took two men with a staff on their shoulders to carry one cluster of grapes. Now, friends, I don't know about you, but that's a vineyard. And God is telling us, though the giants may live in this land, this vineyard is your vineyard, and it's yours if you'll go in and take it. Well, we know the story how they rebelled and went back into the wilderness for another 39 years or so. But here, over in Hosea, God is telling them it's restoration time. I'm getting ready to restore my church, and the church that I'm going to restore is going to be taken into the wilderness. And there I'm going to begin to speak comfortable words unto her. And as she receives this word, God says, I'm going to restore back unto her her vineyards. These are vineyards that's in the promised land. It's not vineyards on this side of the river, but it's vineyards on that side of the river that God is saying, cross the river of death and enter into that which I have given you for an inheritance. The next thing God says, the valley of Achor for a door of hope. How many of you remember the valley of Achor? The valley of Achor is that place where Joshua was leading the people after the walled city of Jericho fell. And from Jericho, they were headed towards Ai. And while they were approaching Ai, the army of Ai come out and just run all over the children of Israel. It called Joshua to fall on his face. Now, you need to hear this, people. Joshua fell on his face saying, God, you promised me this and you promised me that. You said you'd go before me. You would go before me and defeat the enemy before me. And God said, Joshua, I'm paraphrasing here. He said, Joshua, you can't go in and beat the men of Ai because there's sin in the camp. Now, remember, we're not talking about getting saved here. We're talking about possessing the land. We're not talking about just being filled with the Holy Spirit here. We're talking about possessing the land. It's the land of promise. Those promises that God has spoken unto us are yea and amen. They will not return unto him void. In other words, there's not going to be a people that move into the presence of God until that word is fulfilled within their hearts. Are you folks walking with me? So the Valley of Achor was a place where God had to deal with sin. Now we're in the wilderness, and the church is being dealt with. And it's being dealt with in a way that's preparing this people to manifest the kingdom of God, to become a visible expression of an invisible God. So what happened? Let's go back to the walled city of Jericho. God spoke to Joshua, said, after you blow the trumpet seven times, that wall is going to come down. And he said, now everything, that city is accursed. Do you know that Jericho was the first fruits city? Look up in your concordance and find out what the name of Jericho means. And so the city of Jericho was the first fruits. And this is who God is speaking to now. He's not speaking about the general harvest, brothers, but he's speaking about a first fruits company that's going to come forth in the glory of God and begin to reveal to the earth what the harvest is all about. So he said, now you cannot, this city is accursed, and you cannot take any of the possessions of that city for your own possessions. He said, it's accursed, and these things belong to God. Again, get back in your Bible dictionary, and you'll find out that that word accursed could very well have been interpreted devoted. In other words, the Babylonian garment and the silver and gold that Achan hid within his tent and had to be dealt with in the Valley of Achor was devoted to God. Now follow me here. This first fruits company is devoted to God, and we cannot put our hands to it. This is why, as I begin to wait upon the Lord, and until He changed me and moved me into another direction last night, God's purpose, the thing that God had laid on my heart for Nigeria was the voice of God. God is speaking to a people. And sometimes we misinterpret what God's saying because we do not understand the heavenly language that God is speaking. I want to take you back into a time when Nehemiah was brought back from bondage, and he was instructed by the king that sent him back, Darius, I think it was, instructed him to go back and restore the temple. And when he came back to restore the temple, and as they begin to work on the temple, something was brought to our attention. And what it says is the people of Israel that had stayed in the land, including the Levites and the priests, had done something that God spoke to them through Moses was an abomination unto God. And what they had did is they had married some strange women. In other words, God spoke to Moses and said, give instruction to the children of Israel. When you go into the land, you do not marry their daughters, nor let your sons marry their daughters, or your daughters marry their sons. Then he specifically said, if you go in and make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land in the latter days, it will become a snare unto you. You and I find ourselves living in a period of time when there's a part of the Christian community that has wedded strange women or have been married the inhabitants of the land, or those thoughts and ideals that come out of the strange minds of high up and lifted men. Are you guys walking with me? And so some of the women were coming and complaining, and they brought to Nehemiah, I think it was, or Ezra, and this is what was said. He says, we cannot even purify the priesthood because they've married these strange women. And then he makes clear, their offspring cannot even speak the Jews' language. But God never leaves us high and dry. Over in one of the minor prophets, God speaks a word. And he says, during his time of restoration, he said, I'm going to restore unto my people a pure language. I was sitting here earlier when I was talking about marriages. I'm running out of time. I was talking about marriages, and this is a thought that went through my mind. Now I'm married, and I'm happily married, been married since 1966, 64. Glad my wife's not here. But I said, it went through my mind. Now, Dwayne, what would happen if you married a Nigerian lady that couldn't speak English, and you cannot speak her language? We could have a degree of a relationship, couldn't we? But we could not communicate very well. Something would be missing. Chances are that our marriage would just be stumbling along until something happened. Either she learned my language or I learned her language. Now, friends, God has got some great men and women in this place. Hallelujah, and I feel it an honor to be here in your presence. But I want to tell you something tonight that God has instructed me to tell you. There's some languages going on in our midst that is not pure. Are you following me? And the reason why God is bringing it to our attention now, I don't know if He's ever brought it to your attention before, but He's bringing it to your attention now, is because He's prepared to take you into a new level. And in order to come forth in that level, sister, we need a pure language. Hallelujah. The reason my wife and I get along so well is because we speak the same language. We both spoke English when we first got married, but we sure didn't speak the same language. We had to go through some rough times and ins and outs. She was from Oklahoma and I was from Arizona. She was raised in a different atmosphere than I was raised in. I had a mindset that was geared to the Western way of life, and she had a mindset that was geared to being raised with 13 brothers and sisters. talk about walking into a whirlwind. Oh, when I visited my mother-in-law for the first time, I had kids coming from everywhere, more kids than I'd ever seen. And I says, Almeida, let's get out of this place. Hallelujah. But I learned to love them all because we learned how to speak the same language. Now, I'm here to tell you tonight that God is getting ready to knock on your door and give you a new language. And it's going to be a pure language that's going to begin to speak the Jews' language or a heavenly language. And as you begin to speak the same language, something is going to begin to appear within your midst that you have not been familiar with yet. You might have had a foretaste of it from time to time over the years in your ministry or your walk with God. But we're talking about entering into a place in God that you're not going to go out from. You're going to abide in the presence of God day and night, 24/7. You're going to walk in that presence, and the glory of God is going to begin to affect everything you come in contact with. If you got sons and daughters that are not living for the Lord, you come into this place and then you go to their house and visit, and it's going to turn their house upside down, and they're going to fall on their face before God, and they're going to say, "Mom, Dad, I want what you got." The world is a hard taskmaster, and everyone is looking for peace and rest and contentment. They're looking for it in all the wrong places because they have no one to look to. And I thank God for what we've allowed God to be in us, each one of you. I'm not belittling none of you. No way. I, as a brother said this morning, I'm not worthy to tie their shoelaces because they've walked the walk, and they're learning to talk a talk. And they're learning to come into some places with God. That when you have a need such as presented on some of those questions today, they're not going to have to get a panel up here to figure out what kind of answer they can give you, but they're going to walk into the midst of that situation, and God's going to change it. Hallelujah. I'm not against panels and question asking. We need to ask God a whole lot more questions than we are. We need to open ourselves up and say, "Here I am, Lord. Look upon me and see every weakness of my life, and you begin to bring change." Instead of hiding behind the fig leaves of our own choosing, we need to walk circumspectly before God, naked as it were, filled with His glory, with a new covering that the world can see. The world, for the most part, sees us hiding behind the dress of our own making. Hallelujah. Let me get on through with this. Hallelujah. So Achor is a door of hope, and this is how it's a door of hope. How many of you know the three places of the tabernacle? Outer court, holy place, and holiest of all. The outer court is mercy. The inner court is hope. And the holiest of holies is love. So when he talks about it being a door of hope, it's talking about the holy place, right? But over in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it's talking about a higher order and a higher walk than walking in hope. We walk around here, most of our prayers that ascend before God is from the basis and the foundation of hope that God will hear our prayer and answer our prayer. But friends, there is a people that are going behind the veil and standing in the presence of God. We are in the year of Jubilee, and the trumpet is sounding 10 days after the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, something happens in the holy place. That altar of incense and fire upon it that God was talking about this morning is on the move. It's no longer satisfied to abide in the holy place, but it's on the move into the presence of God. Love is the place we shall abide. All the armies of this world is not going to be able to defeat Satan, but love is going to conquer him. Did I ever tell you about the thing that Satan's afraid of more than anything else? Would you like to know? Let me see your hand. Would you like to know what he's afraid of? That you and I might find out who we are in God. When we find out who we really are in God, this world does not have a prayer, because we're going to begin to walk. You want to find out who you really are? Get back into the Gospels. You begin to read the story of Jesus. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Let me tell you how he found out who he was. You know, he was baptized in the Jordan River and the heavens opened unto him. So when the heavens opened, he had a pipeline unto God so he could talk to God and commune with God. But one of the things that he did up until he was 12 and then when he was 30 is he was very studious concerning the five books of the Bible, the Old Testament. And so as he began to read those books in the Old Testament and some of what the prophets wrote, he began to read certain events, and suddenly he says, "That's me. That's me. Man, those scriptures are talking about me. That's who I am. And so he began to confound the professors at the temple that day. When he began to answer some of their questions and converse with them, when he found out who he was, they could not keep up with him. You and I are going to find out who we are. And I want to clue you in on something. When this altar begins to move, something you're going to have to remember, that it moves after being sprinkled with the blood. The blood that was shed in the outer court was taken into the holy place. And there the high priest sprinkled. You cannot get away from the cross. You cannot get away from the cross. And I want to tell you how our soul is going to be resurrected. It will not be resurrected by a law. And as I shared with some folks here a little while back, I don't know if it's in Tulsa or Iowa. Hallelujah. I want to calm down there so bad, I heard. But I'll stay up here. Hallelujah. Where was that? In Tulsa or Iowa? Hallelujah. What was I talking about? Resurrection of the soul. Now, most of us are saved and filled with the Spirit, are we not? Now, this is the heart of what God wants to speak to us about. Most of us are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we're moving in tremendous ministries. But how many of us in this place tonight have a character flaw that we have not been able to overcome? As an example, I had a very violent temper during my younger years. And when I become a Christian, I found out that it wasn't very kosher to lose your temper all the time. I'd lose my temper, my wife, one of my children, the neighbor, and I'd get so convicted. And I'd go into my bedroom or into my study, wherever I was at, and this is what I'd do. I said, I'm never, remember this, Brother Bassong? I'm never going to lose my temper again. I am never going to lose my temper again. So a few weeks would go by, and all of a sudden another situation would come up. Bam! There it was. I'd lose my temper again. Here would come conviction, even greater than before. And then this would happen time and time again. Now what I'm trying to point you to is the law never will change the soul. You can set as many laws and try to let those laws rule you all you want to. And self-will suddenly run its course, and you will yield to the very thing you desire to be free from. So praying and asking God what I should do about this. After years, he finally got my attention. And he said, Dwayne, he says, I'm only allowing those situations to come up in your life, not to condemn you, but to set you free. What do you mean, Lord? I've been trying to get free from this thing for a number of years now. And he says, that's the problem. You're establishing laws and trying to live under the law, and the law will never set you free. Don't you know that back on the cross 2,000 years ago, I shed my blood and died? You no longer be your keeper. What I started doing then, I didn't go to my bedroom and say, I'm never going to do it again. I went to my bedroom and yelled out, help, help. God, I need your help. I cannot change myself. Tried and struggled and warred against the very thing that is destroying me. What am I going to do? And all God said is all you have to do is ask me to help you. And if we enter in his presence with his heart, God will begin to change and resurrect the soul. Know that the soul is the mind and will, the emotions and desires of man. It's what we are. We're all up in our genealogy, our environment, our education, et cetera. The way we were raised, it's a mindset that we are. It's our souls molded and formed and shaped after that environment. And we get saved, all God is into our spirit. Get filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fills our spirit with the power and authority to take possession of the soul. We cannot take possession of the soul. The law we delivered. Because we enter into God's presence, we say, help, Lord. I need your help, Lord. Take this away from me. And little by little, I suddenly found myself no longer yielded to the temper I had as a young man. If I got succeeded once, twice, stabbed, it wasn't a raging temper. And I quickly went, God, they forgive me and take from my life. Are you folks with me? So we're going through the wilderness here. We're in the Valley of Achor and the Door of Hope. And I want to just finish here quickly with this last part. It says, and by the way, you know what happened to Achan? The valley of Achor is the door of where our door of hope is. He was taken out, and he had hid beneath his tent the Babylonian garment, the silver and the gold. And God said to Joshua, if you get the elders together and you stone them, not only him and his wife and his kids, but all of his cattle and his sheep and everything he's put his hands to, you slay it. Because God does not want man putting his hands to those things that are devoted to God. Friends, there are those of us here today that are devoted to God, and we're hiding some of these things beneath the tent of our house. And God says it's time to take some stones for the word of God or the grace of God and begin to allow the Holy Spirit to wash us and cleanse us of those mindsets and those character quirks that have ruled over us. So hallelujah. Then we can go on to the next step. The next level is that we will begin to sing. You know, I told somebody here the other day, that young man that leads this song service, I'd like to just take him with me. Man, he is a praise leader. And he can get us into a spirit of praise real easy. And we can enter into that place of worship because he is anointed in his place. But friends, there's a place in God where worship begins to ascend unto him that we've not touched yet. Are you with me? And it says here that we're going to begin to sing as in the days. And I'm like all the rest of these brothers. I can't get through, so I'm just going to quit. We're going to begin to sing as in the days when we were brought out of Egypt. And Miriam began to lead the worship and the praise as they begin to sing the songs delivered. Hallelujah. Friends, God is desiring for you and I to respond to the wooing and the call that is coming forth in our midst to enter into the wilderness, virgin territory. Does not the word says that we will be brought into a place, the walk, where we've never walked before? There's a song we used to sing years ago, and I can't sing it, but it seems like God brings this song with me more frequently in the places that I go lately, and I'm just going to read the first verse. It says this: there is a path that no fowl knoweth, the vulture's eye hath never seen, where no thorn tree nor thistle groweth, no hedge to hinder, completely clean. The path and the door to this path is opened up to you tonight. And I don't know about you, but if I had some character flaws and I had something that you desired that you've been wrestling with for years and can't conquer, I'd be on my feet running into the presence of the Lord tonight. For God is here to bring forth deliverance in those areas. And remember that a law is not going to bring deliverance to your house. But you, depending upon the grace and the mercy of God, crying out for his aid, he will begin to remove from you the very thing that has held you bondage all these years. My brother will just begin to play softly. Prepare a song, please. We want to give opportunity, and I know that you come to the front last night and today about some things and issues in your life. But we want to make available again this front portion because there is an anointing to bring deliverance to tonight. And it's deliverance in the areas that you have not been able to get deliverance from. So as he begins to play this song, just make your way to the front. And that brother that prayed for these people this afternoon, I want you to come on up here and prepare another prayer. God is getting ready to bring deliverance. Let us come. Hallelujah. Come on, let's move quickly.
Change in me and change in you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true. Change in me.
Ancient words ever true. changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient world depart. Ancient world, ever true, changing me.
Oh, hallelujah.
And changing you.
Let's, beloved, come.
We have come.
Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as you come, just lift up your eyes to him and begin to pray. Present your situation before him. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.
We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient world depart.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
In this world, where will we roam? Ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you.
Oh, hallelujah.
We have come with open hearts. All that the ancient words depart.
Ooh, glory to God.
Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come.
It's a day of release. It's a day of release.
Chain
which our chains are broken. Chain with all power that holds you bound.
Changing me, changing
me. We just thank you, Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We bless the name of the Lord our God. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to say this with me. Pray from the bottom of your heart. Lord Jesus. Now say it out loud. Lord Jesus. I come before you. I come to you today. I renounce unfaithfulness of every kind. Unfaithfulness to the life that you have given me, that is eternal life. I renounce every sin, every allegiance to the devil and all his agents. My life is in your hands, Lord Jesus, and to you alone I give my allegiance.
from today in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen. Now stretch forth your hand as though receiving from the Lord. Father, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for your children that have come. Lord, as many as have had things planted within them, whether they be evil doctrines or bondages or satanic implants, today by the word of the Lord, I command them to wither. I command them to wither in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the power of Satan over your lives. I break the power of darkness over your lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to be free. I command you to be free. I command you to be free. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare from this minute that that which has kept you, that to which you have been in servitude, that affliction, that oppression to which you have been in servitude, today, in the name of Jesus Christ, as it is written in the word of the Lord, every tree that my Father have not planted shall be rooted up. I come against all such, therefore, in the name of Jesus, come out. I command you to be rooted up. I command you to be rooted up. In the name of Jesus, you shall no longer oppress these children of God. You shall no longer oppress these children of God. You shall no longer afflict them. The fruit you have borne in their lives, I command it to wither. I command it to wither. In the name of Jesus Christ, every evil tree planted in you and on your behalf to which you have responded, I command that tree to die. I command it to die. I command it to die. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command your release on the authority of the word of the Lord that has come to you today. I command your release. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I declare that you are free. I declare that you are free. Blessed be the name of the Lord our God. Father, we give you thanks. Father, we give you praise. Hallelujah. Rise to your feet and begin to give glory to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.